Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Gloro.
It's officially Sagittarius season, so sending you all warm Sagittarius greetings. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gloro. I'm so thrilled that you're here today with me. Now, you know, we always start off the show with a little astrology talk. Unfortunately, Crystal Eves is not with us today, but she does send her love. And I'm hoping that we can have Crystal in at some point before the end of Sagittarius season to give us her take on Sagittarius. But I'm excited to be here with you all today to talk a little bit about Sagittarius and what this archetype means to me. Now, to give you just a quick recap, we just left Scorpio season. And if you remember, if you've been listening to the episodes, I've been talking a lot about death and transformation. That's what Scorpio season is all about. And now we move into Sag. And Sag gives us a little bit more hope and optimism. If you listened to my conversation, my heart-to-heart with Mo Hagen last week, I talked a little bit about the Sagittarius archetype. Mo Hagen is a Sagittarius herself, so I had read a description that I had come across in my study and shared that with her, and it was spot on. What I love is that transition from Scorpio to Sag, right? If you remember, Catherine and I were talking in our Come Alive episode last month, or earlier this month, about Sagittarius or about Scorpio season. We were talking about, you know, death, transformation. It's part of the cycle of life, right? We've got birth, life, death, rebirth. And Scorpio is the death portion of it and the rebirth. But what I love is that now we move into Sagittarius, and Sagittarius gives us the hope. The hope that after all of this death, after the darkest days, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Sagittarius loves to go into the light and bring it everything to light, and Scorpio loves to kind of linger in the darkness a little bit. So some of the qualities of Sag, which I love, is they have a very adventurous spirit. So if you think about it, with Scorpio, we're in that death transformation phase. Then we move into Sag. Sag invites us to reminds us the importance of being optimistic and enthusiastic, and gives us the sense of adventure for the possibility of life, right? Because again, birth, life, death, rebirth, that rebirth is going to start the cycle all over again. And so with Sagittarius energy, the way I see it and the way I feel it is that it gives us that optimism that even though death is inevitable, we can still move on and get back into that light joyfulness. The archetype of Sagittarius also loves travel, really, with their adventurous spirit and their optimism and enthusiasm. One of the quotes that I read with Mo Hagen last week was, the Sagittarians desire to go further and farther. So looking for those new frontiers, going out to experience what this beautiful life has to offer. So it's really interesting to me because Sagittarius is a mutable fire sign. So I'm just gonna break this down for a second. What does this mutable mean? Well, the zodiac is actually very in tune with the four seasons. And every season has three modes to it. We've got the cardinal, we've got the fixed, and then we also have the mutable. So every season starts with a cardinal sign. So that's the initiating energy. That gets things started, gets things going, gets things moving. Then the fixed energy is the energy that sustains that which was created in the cardinal sign. So for example, in springtime, we've got life starting to burst forward. And then in Taurus, that's with Aries season, in Taurus, we then have We have that sustaining. We have things growing. We have things really taking form and rooting in. The seeds that you plant in Aries season start to become established in Taurus season. And then, of course, there's the mutable sign. And that mutable sign is that sign that transitions us from one to the next. So in the case of going back to spring, Cardinal is Aries, starts the energy. Taurus is fixed, sustains the energy. And then Gemini is that mutable energy, that transformative energy that takes us from all the exciting growth and life, birth and life that comes out of spring and takes us into the warmth of summer. So there is that transition. And the mutable signs are really good with that transition. So with Sagittarius being a mutable sign, it's taking us from being in that dark place to bringing us into a place where we have to be really comfortable with that darkness, right? Because we go from the death that we experience in fall, where the leaves start to change and things start to transform, into the dead of winter. And we're going to see, by the end of Sagittarius season, we're going to see the winter solstice. And the winter solstice symbolically is considered the death of the sun. And the sun will be at its lowest point in the horizon. That's why back in the day, they used to think, oh, this is the death of the sun. It's at the lowest point in the horizon, and it will remain there for 3 days. And then after that 3 days, the light starts to increase. And that's where we want to kind of tap into our Sagittarian side of that optimism, that even though the light is still shrinking and the nights are still getting longer, there will be that point where we'll turn around and start to go up again. So I just am really loving this. And of course, now, you know, I was harping on Halloween and holding on to it for as long as we can. Now it's time to start bringing out the Christmas decorations and getting ready for the joy and the optimism of the season. That even though in the dark times, which we will encounter in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the winter solstice, there are those lights that we ourselves have to put out there. And that's kind of like the Sagittarius thing, right? We know the dark is coming. Okay, quick, let's get the tree all nice and illuminated. Or in the case of the Jewish faith, we've got the candles of Hanukkah. So there is this idea of bringing light to the darkness, which is a very, to me, Sagittarian thing. So I'm excited for this season. Another thing about Sagittarius is, I think I mentioned this already, is they are travelers. They love to go on adventures. They love to seek opportunity to go out into the world and discover it and enjoy it. And I think it's a wonderful time for me to announce here officially on the podcast that my retreat to Italy in Tuscany, September 2024, I've announced it to a small group of people that have expressed their interest. They all got the opportunity to find out the details first. That happened 2 days ago on Monday, and I only have 10 spots available already. Two of them are taken. So I'll be announcing it to the general public if you are on my newsletter this Friday. So go to the show's notes, find out how you can sign up for my newsletter. Make sure you get put on that mailing list, because when I send out my newsletter on Friday, I'll be letting everybody know all about my journey to Italy. And I have a wonderful co-teacher that you all know and love. Claudia Mico will be joining me in Italy to lead this experience. It is a self-care and cultural immersion. So we are going to be taking care of ourselves, but we're going to be using the backdrop of Italy and all of Italy's healing qualities, including the food, the beauty, the land, the familial feel, the camaraderie, the love of this country and within the country. It will be our It'll be where all the healing and all the exploration of the self will happen. So again, go on to my, go to the show's notes, look at how you can sign up to join my mailing list and get on that list, because this experience will sell out. Early bird deadline ends on December 15th. So all you have to do is put your deposit down before then, and you're going to secure in that, that early bird pricing. And as I mentioned, there are only 8 spots left. So this will fill out. It is not a big retreat. That is intentional. I like to keep the experiences small and intimate, because of the work that we're going to be doing, the things that we're going to be looking at within ourselves. And also it's just, it's nice to have a tight little intimate group. So check that out. And I also hope that you enjoy this episode. So as I said, Crystal Eves will be joining us to talk a little bit about Sagittarius in the next couple of weeks, to tell us a little bit more. And as she had said to our Way of the Sun group yesterday, the Sagittarius archetype being mutable is very here and there, and requires us to be a little bit more agile, to be open to sudden changes. And so here we are, a sudden change, and Crystal will be back in a couple weeks to share a little bit more about Sagittarius season. But on this episode, we have Dr. Patricia Rennie, who is in the middle of a 60 days of self-care. Now in Arise, we're doing Self-Care November. Her and her bestie, Dr. Kathy, they're doing 60 days of self-care. So she tells us all about her experience. And then Jackie Talley and I get a little closer. And I have to say, every conversation I have with Jackie just keeps getting better and better. I absolutely love her. So I hope you do too. And I hope you enjoy this episode with these fabulous ladies as much as I did. We have Dr. Patricia Rennie here to tell us all about her exciting journey of 60 days of self-care. Dr. Pat, it's so good to see you as always.
Hey, Paul. I'm just so excited to talk to you today.
Now, this is fun for me because I didn't mention this to you yet, but in Arise, we're doing 30 days of self-care. Every November is our focus of taking care of ourselves. And what we do is we choose 1 2-minute task that we commit to doing every day for 30 days. Wow. And we have a habit tracker and everything, just like you, just and to kind of take the time to take care of ourselves. We don't often do that in our busy, crazy lives. So you're doing this fun journey, 60 days of self-care. Everyone's following it on the Instagram.
Yes. The Instagram. What's your 2-minute thing that you're doing every day?
So my 2-minute thing is actually a little bit longer than 2 minutes, but I've committed to not wearing any earbuds when I take Dominic for a walk. So yes. Complete silence, no podcasts, no music, no practicing my choreography. That's my self-care task for myself.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. I love that. All right. So, you know, my friend and colleague, Kathy Kindersma. So, I presented to her the idea of, I don't know if you've heard of 75 hard.
No, what's this?
So I don't really know. I did not look into this individual, but I don't think he's a healthcare practitioner, and he's become famous with this idea of 75 hard. 75 days was just a bit too long, considering that we were going to start right after Thanksgiving, and it meant it would go up to December 23rd, which is really, getting to be a difficult time of year to be that controlled. And so we settled on 60 days, and essentially most of the characteristics of what we're doing are very similar to 75 hard, except you and I talked fairly recently about water. And his goal for water was unreasonable, and it's not individualized. So I think it's too much what he's doing, and it's certainly too much for women of our size. So we changed the water aspect. So I think we're doing seven different things we committed to. So let's see if I can get them all. And then I'll tell you, what the pain points are, particularly for me. So no alcohol for 60 days, no refined sugar for 60 days. 90 minutes of exercise per day, 30 of those have to be outside. Taking all of your required supplements every day. 15 minutes of nonfiction reading, a mantra or affirmation or form of meditation every single day. Honestly, when you look at each of those things, we, Kathy and I, already did many of those things many days, but we didn't do all of those things every day. So that's the commitment. To do it for 60 days, and no excuses, no compromises. You can't bank 2 hours of exercise today and only do an hour tomorrow. You got to do the 90 minutes. So there are days when getting all of those things in is difficult. And we recognized pretty early on that for someone who is working full time or has three little kids, like, it would be really hard to do this. So, you know, we might adapt it for different people. The point is to give yourself enough of a challenge that there is a little bit of pain. So there's an opportunity for growth, right? And I would say my main goal, my biggest pain points before we started, because things change over time, my biggest pain points would be the alcohol and the sugar. I am a sugar addict. I'm a refined sugar addict. That probably surprises a lot of people, but
it does.
I got that gene and I grew up like that and I ate buckets of whatever. At this point in my life, I eat much better quality carbohydrates, but you know, most people who know me would say, oh yeah, chocolate. She's going to eat chocolate. And I'm not going to eat 100% no sugar chocolate. Like, what would be the point? Tastes like dog food to me. So, and those are things that I crave. I, you know, I consider them rewards at the end of the day, or, you know, if my husband says something annoying to me, I am really aware that when I am emotionally challenged, I'm going to reach. So I'm aware of the issue, but I was like, throughout September, I was like, I'm doing this every day. I want to be in control of my habits. I don't want my habits to control me. So that's my pain point there. And the alcohol, which I would have, like, I would make myself a really nice cocktail Friday night, Saturday, Sunday night, and a glass of wine Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And then it got to the point of maybe I'll just have one on Thursday night. So as soon as it starts to bleed and you feel like you have lost control, and that's always been, you know, the cleanse I do in the spring, everything, that's my control point, is I'm not going to tell you never to drink a cup of coffee, but when I'm thinking about my latte at 9 o'clock at night that I'm going to have tomorrow morning, that's how I know I'm in trouble.
Right.
That's when I'm on a slippery slope. Right. So those were the things that really motivated me. And then my goals were, my chief goal is I don't want to buy another pair of jeans. I am 57 years old now. I am postmenopausal. I might weigh the same, but it's in different places. So I want to fit comfortably into the same jeans that I've worn for 10 years. That's just my goal. Anybody can have a different goal, but that's, I just don't want to have to go out and buy any pair of jeans. So that was kind of my top one. You know, more energy, better sleep. Really, I wanted my joint inflammation to diminish. And I really thought, here's my challenging piece. A lot of the symptoms that I have that I thought were sugar and alcohol based are not. And that was the disappointment. So I start out the first couple of weeks and I made a huge, well, everything is a learning opportunity. I pre-toxed myself. I went through the house and ate everything that was going to be a temptation. I didn't want it there. And the truth is, once I get started and I'm committed, I'm fine. But I thought, okay, I'm just going to be run around and eat up everything I can eat. So I started out really inflamed. And it took me 2 weeks to settle down. And now that I'm at my baseline, I'm like, I still wake up with this random pain some days. I still wake up with this some days. So what is that? And now I'm okay, that's the piece that's probably the postmenopausal piece, the lack of estrogen piece, the lack of, right? So here's my other big motivating, much related to menopause. On my last couple of blood works, and you and I have talked a lot about blood work.
We have.
But maybe we haven't really talked about the lipid panel yet.
I think so.
My cholesterol level was starting to sneak up. And I thought that was related to my thyroid gland because there's a really close connection to those two. But then I fixed that and my cholesterol was still sneaking up. So as soon as the 60 days is over, I'm going to go back and do another blood test, another lipid panel, and see where my cholesterol and triglycerides are, and if I've been able to lower it. Again, it's not a pure exercise because I've changed diet and I've changed exercise, but at least I'll know if I brought it down that I have control over that piece.
I love that you're doing this because it's a fun, like to me, it's just like a fun little experiment to see like where did I start, what did I do, where did I finish, and what's exciting to me is like you learn so much. I've done things like cleanses and 60 days of self-care type things in the past, and I love it because I learn so much about myself, not just about like my physical body, but my tenacity, my willpower, all of that stuff. So I really love that you're doing this, and I love the approach that you're doing it. It's like an experiment.
Yes. And I think the biggest, for both of us, the biggest factor has been because the idea of stepping off this cliff by myself, I know I wouldn't have done it. So the biggest factor for us is having an accountability partner. So especially those early days, right? Like I'm not historically a water drinker. I would drink enough water, but I wasn't really drinking an optimal amount of water. And so I've done that trick that I've asked so many people to do, where I put a liter and a half pitcher on the counter in the morning. And once I'm through that, I fill it up again, two-thirds, and I can't go to bed until it's finished. Those first few days, I was like 9 o'clock at night going, oh, I'm going to be up to pee in the middle of the night if I don't get this in. And within a week, I was craving that water and it was all gone by noon. Yeah. Mostly gone by noon. Yeah. So I wake up now and I just take my first, I think that that's a habit that I can maintain really easily because now it's like my sponge got wet and it doesn't want to dry out again. I'm thirsty right now. Yeah.
Have a sip.
So that's the other thing that's really interesting because when, I told my kids I was going to be doing this and the other side to this is that we have had challenges, right? Like Kathy and I went to a conference together. We went to the wine and cheese reception and had club soda and lime. We went out for dinner to a winery 2 nights in a row, had zero alcohol. I handed out buckets of Halloween candy to 180 kids last week and didn't touch a single one for the first time in my life. Right? Like once you get like that's my biggest motivator is the willpower piece. Like, can I control? Can I have that willpower and that mental clarity? So that's really great. But also, I'd say one of the most exciting pieces for me has been the exercise piece because I always walk, I always exercise every single day. I always walk my dog for at least half an hour. Sundays we walk for an hour and a half, and then various days I do certain amounts of yoga, whatever else I'm going to do. I'm not golfing anymore because it's November. But that has been, at the very beginning, it's like, how do you fit in? Some days it's hard to fit in 90 minutes of exercise. So, and as you know, I'm a tiny bit afraid of coyotes in my neighborhood. So I will not walk my dog in the dark. I wait until it's light and there's lots of people out. But I figured out I'm getting up really early now. And I'm walking my first half hour, 40 minutes in the dark by myself. And I'm listening to a book, I'm listening to a nonfiction audio book that is about longevity. So that is really amazing. But it's been the most important boon to my mental, emotional health because A, I can walk quickly and I can go. I am now going to places I have not walked with her in 2 years because I've been afraid of coyotes. So it's been huge. I do that loop by myself in the dark, and I come back and grab her and get my coyote stick and my alarm, and then we go out. So if people are trying to figure out where to, because I have to load stuff in the morning. If I'm going to get it done, it has to happen early and then it's out of the way. So that's how I figured out to get that extra half hour, 45 minutes in, so that by 8 o'clock, I've done an hour of exercise and then I'll do half an hour of yoga later.
And I'm sure you feel like I don't know what, tell me what you feel like, but I would just imagine getting your heart and muscles and everything going first thing in the morning, your body is ready for for the rest of the day, no matter what you do, whether it's seeing patients or, I mean, you're not gardening anymore, but anything physical that you would do. I love that.
Yeah, it's been huge. And now that I've done it for a month, this sort of 90 minutes for a month, now I'm like, okay, now I need to ramp it up. Now I need to add weights. Now I need to walk with a backpack with weights. Now I need to walk up more hills. Now I need to do more weight bearing exercise in that other half hour. So I've kind of gotten bored with what I'm doing and I need to challenge myself a little bit. So I'm just adjusting that piece for the second half. Just to see like what can I do in terms of muscle mass? I mean, I think the big point here is 60 days is not a lot of time in the scheme of, you know, this grand scheme of things where it's taken me 57 years to get to this point. I'm not going to change the world in 60 days, but I have shown myself what's possible.
And just to circle back to the exercise piece, I love this. You're not going to a gym, you're not making a big deal about it. You're just living your life and looking at ways to increase, you know, your resistance training and ways to increase your cardiovascular training and all of that stuff. So that it's part of your life, not a separate thing. And I think that is so important because a lot of times we think, oh, for me to get exercise, I have to go to the gym or I have to go to the studio or I have to, you know, do a video. You don't. You can actually just keep doing what you're doing, but just now, like you said, put the weight on your back or carry weights in your hands or wrists or ankles or anything like that. That's amazing.
Because it has to be what you love doing for you to keep doing it. And I love being outside. I love walking outside. And so far we've been lucky because except for the 2 days we were in Niagara when it was cold and dark and miserable and where we were staying was a wind tunnel and we were like getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to walk before the conference started at 8 and walking into the wind like this. And I said, why are we doing this? But aside from that, like the mornings have been great. And the nice thing about walking early in the morning is that as you walk, it's getting lighter. If you walk at night, as you walk, it's getting darker. So, you know, that's easier for me. But, you know, I have a stationary bike in the basement for when I have to do that. And I've hung up my outdoor bike for the season now. But, and I am still doing some gardening. I do have some things to do out there. But, there's not much time left to that. So we'll see what happens because as this moves into December, you know, we're not done until early in December. We'll see how, you know, those days are short and dark and cold. I'm going to show you, because I know you want to see it because I
got
it from you. This is the first 30 days.
Amazing. This is the habit tracker. I found this on the internet and I sent it to Dr. Pat.
And I just love it because it's beautiful and it's just a visual representation of the accomplishment. So by the end, we'll have 2 full pages and then I'm going to go back and fill in the center.
I love that. Dr. Patricia Rennie, I love this journey that you are on right now, and I can't wait to hear about the whole experience. Listeners, go over to the show's notes, check out how you can follow Dr. Pat on the Instagram because you're posting regularly. I've been seeing all your updates with you and Kathy of everything that you're doing. So this is wonderful. You're fabulous. I love you. Anything else to say before we go on to the next guest?
Just like think about, you know, what are the things in your life that, you know, we're coming to the end of this year. So you could think about the next year and what are your goals and, you know, what are the things you'd like to change? And then you can like pick a couple of things to challenge yourself. And I think also one of the goals is going to be next year that Kathy and I would do this with a group of people and have regular check-ins. So, because if you don't have a good accountability partner, I'm telling you, last night I would have had a glass of wine.
Yes, I know that. And I mean, you and Kathy, I know you guys the way you are, just like personally, you guys are very supportive of one another. Your friendship is inspiring. So I love that you are doing this together. That's amazing. Dr. Pat, thank you so much. We'll see you next month where we're talking about the importance of taking care of our immune system in the dead of winter.
In the dead of winter.
Yes, love that. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
It is now time to have our conversation with our dear friend Jackie. Miss Tally, how you doing?
Oh, great. It's Wednesday again, and
yes,
I'm getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Classes. Yes.
Are you sipping on anything this morning?
Yes, I have some coffee, very strong coffee.
Very strong coffee. What are Wednesdays like for you?
I have two classes this morning, and this afternoon I have some time to catch up and prepare for tomorrow. So there's one class that's not meeting today. I usually have three classes. So I'm looking forward to having some time to you know, just get ready for the
love
next
it.
Day. Yeah.
Love it. I'm sipping simply it's our morning time. So hot water it's now lukewarm water with lemon. And I saw somewhere recently sprinkling a little Himalayan salt into your hot water with lemon is a great way to replenish electrolytes that you lose overnight. And it had a bunch of other benefits. So I'm trying it out for the week and see how I feel different.
Sounds good.
So yeah, it's really good. So today we're having fun with our Let's Get Closer cards because we had such a good time with them last time. So, before we get into it, let's have a little chat with the listeners.
Okay.
Because listeners, Jackie and I were chatting and Jackie thought, what a great idea if we ask you all to let us know what you want the two of us to talk about. You know, I was thinking, Jackie, between the two of us, there's 120 years of experience.
Oh my goodness.
Of life experience. So
true. And also experience in the world of wellness and fitness and dance.
Yeah. So listeners, anything that you want to ask this 120 years of experience in any of those things, just send us an email. You can email me at paulgaloro.com. Or if you're listening to this on Spotify, there's a little section that says, what do you think of this episode? Just go ahead and type in anything there. If you're watching this on the YouTube, in the comment section, we'd love to hear. Now, Jackie, I've just picked our first card. It's the close card.
Okay.
If I was an animal, what animal would I be and why?
the first thing that pops into my mind is, I'm going to have two animals.
Okay.
Number one, if I come back in another life, I want to be my cat because my cats have a very luxurious life. And they have nothing to worry about and they live here rent free and they get all their favorite food. But number two is a swan because we talked about yesterday in Arise. We had a swan on the tarot card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, I didn't make this up, you know, we've all read this. So the swan is floating gracefully across the lake. Mm-hmm. And she or he looks so graceful and unbothered by anything.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, they're paddling very furiously. So
yes.
I see myself as being the swan paddling furiously, trying to keep up underneath the water so that no one can see
what's
going on. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I definitely see the swan thing because you're gorgeous and the way you carry yourself is very graceful. And you're blonde.
Yeah. There's swan-like, the ballet. And
yes.
You think of ballerinas as being so swan-like. So,
yeah. I love it. I can see that. Yeah. This question is like, these aren't questions I ask me. My brain is really working this morning to think about it. I mean, there's so many answers. The first thing that popped into my mind for me is flamingo. Tall. Not that I'm tall. I mean, I'm pretty AVG, but, beautiful pink. Gorgeous, sounds like me, or a peacock.
Yes, I see peacock. Yes.
Because, I'm elaborate and I love big, flashy, showy things. Although sometimes you'd look at me and you wouldn't think it. But that's what I'd say, peacock or flamingo. Birds, what's our fascination with birds?
And feathers today.
I don't know. Well, I do love a good boa.
Maybe we should wear one next time.
Done. Okay. We're gonna dress up in boa. You know, it's funny. when I teach yoga, I sometimes use a strap. And when we get into the posture, I, you know, get everybody to put it around their shoulders, kind of like a boa. So I've actually been referring to it as a boa when I teach.
Oh.
And my students love it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our next question.
Okay.
This is our closer card. What is the best advice you have ever received?
Well, I should stick with whatever pops into my head. And my father told me when I was in high school that I needed to take typing.
Mm.
And he said, because every woman needs to know how to type. Now, this was back in the 50s. You know, so the jobs that women had were limited to right. secretarial, nursing, teaching, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I took typing and I was really good at it. And then I worked in college in an office and typing. And then after college, I worked in the summer. I was teaching during the school year. And in the summer, I would get a job in an office and type. And now I'm still typing.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I know how to type, because some people struggle with that.
Yes.
And I took a typing class. And so now everything is typing. You type mm-hmm. on your computer, you type on your phone, and that's how we communicate. So mm-hmm. I think my dad was very wise, and even though his reason for telling me that was different than, you know, what it appears to be now.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I remember when I was in high school, we had typing class. And so I was in high school in the mid 90s. And I was talking to a Gen Z. Now, sidebar, I call it Gen Z, not Gen Z, because I'm in Canada. In Canada, we say the letter Z, not Z. But that's just that's just, you know, me being the misfit that I am. Anywho, so I was talking to a Gen Z individual at work the other day, and I was telling her about typing classes, and she's like, what? She's never heard of that. And then I said, well, how do you know how to use a keyboard? And she said, she just like punches the keys with her fingers. And I was like, what? Like, you know, there was, it's almost like playing a piano. You know, you have these little sequences that you move your fingers in order to be efficient with how you're with how you type. Because mm-hmm. I was typing in the office, and she's like, oh wow, you're really fast. I'm like, I've been typing like this for 25 years. So it's oh my gosh, almost 30 years.
And did you have speed test where how fast can
yes.
you
yes yeah. Yeah. And so I was learning on a computer though. So it would like time it for you. And you had to like, the cursor had to follow the letters, and it was like the brown fox jumped over the fence or whatever. You had to type it over again and again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I was doing the speed test, we were on those old fashioned typewriters, and you had yes. to really pound really hard, and then you return and
yes.
push it over. Yeah. So then typing like we do today, it's just so much easier.
Yeah.
To type.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, for me, I think the best advice that, I don't know. Yes. I'm going to say it's the best advice that I'm still trying to implement, is the whole be yourself thing. Because like every time I don't listen to the naysayers or the voice in the back of my head that stopped me, every time I just kind of show up and let my heart pour out, I'm always reminded of, you know, how great that is for the situation that we're in. But it's also one of the most challenging things for me, because there's always that inner critic that tries to pull you back.
Like you're probably thinking, like I do, this is how I should behave or perform mm-hmm. or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we are beautiful birds, and we can't, like, we're just, we do our own thing. We fly, we're gorgeous, we have our thing, and, you know,
yeah.
people walking on the land, they don't always get it.
That's right. If they're just missing out on us.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's get a question from our closest card. What is the biggest lie you have ever told?
Oh my goodness.
It's real talk with Jackie Talley.
Nothing is popping up right now. And all that I can think of right now is that I'm really working on trying to be more kind and more giving people positive feedback. And when people do that for me, it makes me feel so good. And so sometimes, oh, I hate to say this, sometimes I have to lie a little bit.
Embellish the truth.
You know, like, you look great today, and maybe they really don't.
All right, note to self, whenever Jackie tells me I look good, just know that there's a possibility I don't.
Well, let's take that as kind of like an example that, you know, maybe I really don't say that, but it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that someone needs something positive in the moment.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'll make a comment like that because that's easy and it does make someone feel better. Yeah.
So is that a lie or is that just, I'm trying to think of it. You know, you're spinning the story in a different way to, uplift their spirits.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
My intent is good.
Yeah. Yeah. When I asked the question, this memory from my childhood popped into my mind from grade one. Miss Cunningham was my teacher. And I mean, she was probably 35, but I thought she was 100. And so we used to celebrate everybody's birthdays. I can't believe I'm going to tell this story. I was 7 or however old you are in grade one. So we would celebrate everybody's birthdays. When it was their birthday, she would put us all at the front of the class and give everybody Smarties. Do you know what Smarties are?
They're those little chewy things, right?
Okay, no. So Smarties for you in America, I think are those little chewy things, or they're these little like sugary kind of snacks, candy thing. But in Canada, Smarties are kind of, they're chocolate covered, they're candied covered chocolate, kind of like a Reese's Pieces little things, but they're different colors. Mm-hmm. And there's chocolate on the inside and a hard candy shell on the outside. Anyway, she would give us all a handful of Smarties. And I lied because my birthday is in August and I never got to celebrate at school. I lied and I said it was my birthday. And so she's like, okay, come on up. And so I got up at the front of the stage with everyone and I held my hands out and took the candy. And then I realized that she must know that my birthday isn't in. I don't remember the month it was, but I was feeling left out and I lied about my birthday just to get a handful of Smarties.
And she did not ask you about that.
No, like, she did not.
She let you get by with that.
Yeah. She just said, okay, Paul, here are your Smarties.
Okay.
So yeah, that I wouldn't say that's the biggest lie I've ever told. I probably said other lies to get into somebody's pants, but that was the one that came into my mind.
Oh.
I'm teasing. Am I teasing Jackie? I don't know. But oh my gosh. What a fun little chuckle we had this morning. I love our chin wags.
Yeah, it just happens, doesn't it? Things just come up and we talk about it. Yeah, that's great.
It does, and we do. So listeners, once again, Jackie and I are looking for some inspo. So if you want to know about something about us, if you want to hear us talk about something, wax poetically about a topic, get in touch with us, put it in the comments on YouTube, send it to us through Spotify. And if you are not listening on Spotify or YouTube, email me at paulgaloro.com. I'll put that in the show's notes and I'll share that information with Jackie and we will discuss that. Jackie, I'm going to see you again next month.
Yes.
Yeah. So I love you so much. Anything you want to say or share or tell everybody before we go?
No, except just thank you for doing this. I'm feeling really excited for the day. I mean, we generated a whole lot of energy here and I'm ready to blast off and have a good Wednesday.
Same. I love you so much, Jackie. Thanks for being here. Thank you to Dr. Patricia Rennie and Crystal Eves for their chats with us today as well. And lovers, next week, Claudia Miko and I are getting together for another episode of the Mind Body Misfits. We'll see you then. Bye.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.